Do you always offer guests the finest drinks in your fridge? Well, if you do, then you're in good company. Today, we'll be taking a closer look at the nuances of everyday interactions that make up the monotony of life. Let's forget to water the garden and then experience a huge amount of rain the next day. Really good! Grab your knitting needles and a blanket because it's time for three old friends to sit around and sew a new patch into their quilt of friendship. So join me, Dion, under the covers with Christian.
Welcome to Patchwork.
And Josh.
Welcome to Patchwork.
Now, before we get started, I'm sick.
Oh, I'm sick of you too.
And I know it does probably doesn't sound great to record on a podcast when you're feeling unwell, but we are, I mean, we're tight for time. So we do what we can.
We release every fortnight. We have to do it.
Your voice just sounds way worse than it is.
That's the thing. I don't feel sick, but I'm superficially sick. I've got the blocked nose, I've got all the scratchiness as well. But earlier this week, when I was properly sick, I went into work. I made a very foolish decision to go into the office, and I got on public transport.
Oh, foolish decision or a series of bad decisions, Christian? Series of shockers.
Yeah, bad.
Selfish.
Selfish decisions, right? But I only really realized the gravity of it when I was on the tram, because I woke up in the morning, I was like, I'm not feeling great, but you know how you warm into the day.
First thing is the worst.
First thing is the worst. I couldn't swallow. I'm like, you know what? Okay, I'm already outside walking to the tram. I'm feeling a bit better. Sat down in the tram, felt that immense heat of bodies around
me.
Started to feel a bit nauseous. Then all of a sudden, could feel my nose dripping. And instinct was, I'll go to the sniff.
It is a classic instinct, isn't it?
Can the sniff.
I'm the sniffers. And so I was going to go the sniff and then immediately was very aware of the, you know, 40 or so other people sitting in this queue before. and I had to find a new way to control the leakage out of my nose.
Well, because you can't constantly do it.
Can't constantly do it because then you've got eyes.
When you have a really leaky one and you're like, I just need to blow. Like, you sniff for a while and you go, I've just got to blow this out. I've got to clear it out.
And I also didn't want to clear it out on the tram because I didn't want to give anything away, because all of a sudden you make a lot of people uncomfortable by giving those signs.
But aren't they better to know? Isn't that a telltale sign? Like, maybe I'll go
the other
tram.
No,
what are they going to do?
I want to keep it a secret, says Christian.
So I don't want to be the start of the COVID sequence. They track it back to me sniffing on the tram.
So you were sitting there and your nose is dripping and you were like, I have to do something.
So nose is starting to drip. Throat's a bit scratchy. So I was both sniff and cough were both very, very close to me.
Wait, who were they?
It's the premiership match.
And so what I did was I kept my sleeve basically permanently under my nostril.
I feel like you could get arrested if a policeman hears this.
I'm really bad at carrying tissues and hankies. Really
sick
bad.
Going in, sick. Didn't even carry a tissue.
You know what? Brought an umbrella.
Great.
When you wipe it on the umbrella.
Stop the sniffs, the drips from the sky, not from your fucking nose.
Hang on. So didn't you used to use a hanky ages ago?
I was forced to wear a hanky.
Back in the 40s.
Sorry. I asked you, did you use...
and I was forced to wear a hanky.
You wore a hanky. No, but something that was...
My mum used to force us to have a hanky in our pocket before we went out.
And now you're anti-hanky.
I think because of that, I rebelled against hanky or tissue in pocket.
Wouldn't have come in good on this day, wouldn't
it? Yeah. But mainly... The question to you was, yes, I've made a bad decision getting on public transport sick. I understand that.
And and I'm assuming that qualifies as an apology. For anyone that was on that tram, it's a big apology.
Everyone's living their life.
Oh, well,
but
is he?
If you were sitting next to me, which would annoy you or offend you more? Hearing me sniff or hearing me cough?
Well, that's a great question. Annoy you or offend you? They're two very different things.
Okay, let's go with offense to start with.
A sniff. Let's go with annoy.
Go with it.
Offense is way too strong.
No.
He's taking offense at someone being sick.
Not offense.
Dale wrote a mean tweet about my cough.
A sniff.
My sniffs don't care about your feelings.
At Quanda.
Do you know what I wonder it is? I wonder if, would it be more annoying if someone is sniffing in exactly,
is it the same way?
Is it the same way, or is it like the cadence of the sniff?
It's like how you train, like a you know how what's it called, reinforcement? Where
with Pavlovian dogs.
Yeah, it was like if you do it with a pigeon or a rat, if you give them a reinforcement only every other time, they do it more often. Whereas if you do it every time, anyway, it locks in when it's at a different level.
By the way, pigeons or rats? Do they sniff or cough? I think they do any of them? Does anything else
with the cold? It is funny. It is funny seeing like a dog sniff and cough, and you go, "Okay, animals do it too."
Do they cough?
All right, same as us.
That's the exact same thing that we do.
So I think, in terms of an annoyance, I think a sniff to me is much more annoying than a little cough. So we're talking about a little like that constantly, right? Yeah. Or you got something in your throat.
Depending,
like this, even like this.
I think I'd rather have someone sitting next to me on a long flight with that rather than a...
Yeah, because something about the sniff, like you said, Dion, there's a cadence. It's like
you
a
know what?
It's like waiting for the second hand of the clock to strike. You're always... When you're in a quiet room and you hear the ticking...
Quiet room with a sniff.
And it becomes like a metronome. And then when you know that it's coming and the anticipation builds, there's a tension to a sniff.
Yeah.
There's
a tension. Would you ever be conscious of the regularity of your sniffing?
Yeah, you have to be. I think there's people who aren't conscious and they're the worst.
So you're trying to make it the same space every sniff?
No, no.
Or are you just buck wild?
Chaos sniff.
No, it's more that... So what were you thinking at the time when you were... Like, were you self-conscious about the noise or the sickness?
I got away with a sniff. I was just like, you know, kind of like a casual sniff.
Yeah.
People sniff.
Everybody did that all the
Everyone
time.
Everyone sniffs.
Healthy people sniff.
Everybody.
And then they look... Yeah.
That lyric didn't make the cut. Nah, it hurts.
Everybody sniffs.
Yeah.
I got away with one, but then when I was like, I've got a sniff after 10 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when I was like, I'm just going to let this one drip into my mustache.
How about you, Dion? Are you more annoyed by the sniff or more annoyed by the cough?
It depends. So it's on public transport, it's a sniff. If it's at a concert or something and it's a concert where there's a bit of silence,
ooh,
a cough is, oh, but you don't usually hear a sniff at a concert.
Nah, there's too much music going
so
on.
Do you hear sniffing more on a tram or at a concert? What are you more likely to hear?
Well, at a concert, you're not hearing sniffs at a concert.
Yeah,
I agree.
Why not?
Because they're a lot quieter than a cough. Coughs can be loud.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. The thing I was thinking.
Coughs pierce.
The thing I was thinking.
Pierce Coughlin. I was thinking the same as well.
So you both had a bad joke in your head. Yeah.
I was thinking that I think the difference is a sniff is very, very external. Whereas a cough you can retain and close the lips and it remains internal. So I think that's why I don't like the sniff as much as the cough.
Oh. Well, out of interest.
Wait, hang on. You don't like the sniff.
Because it's more exposed and it's external because there's open nostrils. Whereas you close your mouth to try and stifle a cough.
But what about the sound? What about the decibels?
I guess
the sniff is quite shrill, isn't it?
Well, do you ever cover a sniff? Because you cover a cough, but do you cover a sniff?
I did with my sleeve.
Oh, that's a great point.
With a sniff, that's a great point, isn't it? Why wouldn't you cover a sniff?
Well, a sniff's going in, a cough's going out. That's
you're joking.
I've been blowing this whole time.
Hang on. So does that mean-
Because you cover a blow.
Yeah. No, but
imagine if you had to inhale the way you sniff through your mouth. Like your mouth is about to drip saliva. You go-
Hang on, Christian, can you just do it? You didn't say-
That'd be another in a parallel dimension.
Yeah.
Humans are doing that.
Yeah. Actually, can we do that next week? The Sounds Like sketch, we do a reverse cough. But you were saying, so a cough is out, but a sniff is in, but a sniff is in while something's coming out.
That causes the sniff.
So which do you think is, which do you think
so is, which is more, so which is more offensive? And I mean offensive as in like when someone does it, you're like,
sniff. Sniff's more disgusting. Something leaking from your body.
Interesting.
Surely.
Because so, you know why? Because a cough could be due to like dust or something. Whereas a sniff is probably going to be.
No. What about a sneeze?
Oh, come on, mate. Can't throw that in.
It's not offensive.
I said sniff or cough.
Hang on. We'll come back to it in a sec. Just very quickly. I know, Josh, you don't like when we veer off, but we're going to sneezes. Just very quickly. If someone repeezedly sneezes, how do you feel when someone's like,
like a repeat sneezer?
Yeah.
You got to wait for the last sneeze.
And then what do you do?
Bless you.
What do you mean? Is there another?
No, I'm just wondering if it annoys you. Is a repeat sneezer annoying? One-off sneeze isn't annoying. Why? Repeat sneezer?
Hang on, but the act of sneezing, I don't find that annoying.
Sneezing is like, that's a next level cold. You're like, they're real sick.
It's just an allergy.
I'd go towards sick more than allergy.
Yeah,
I think I enjoy listening to other people sneeze.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing, isn't
it? Yeah, it happens very infrequently now. People don't ASMR sneeze as much as they used to.
Really? You don't think? What do you think that's due to?
Evolution.
There it is.
Jeez, that is so annoying.
That's offensive.
That is so annoying. Yeah.
Can I just say, but based on that, right, a sniff gives you an idea that there's illness around.
Yeah.
But a cough puts illness in your general direction.
It did.
What did you think of how I handled myself when I was coughing then? Could I have done better?
It made
for
it was
everyone
great.
Who everyone who's not watching this on YouTube, I leaned away from the microphone,
yeah.
turned my entire body to the side.
And also we should warn people they won't get sick from watching it, obviously. Mm. But my initial reaction was that
leaky ears.
So that was actually
trying to breathe in through your ears.
what a great a spectacle that was, because when Christian coughed like that, Josh, did you think, oh, fuck, I think he's sick. I think I'm going to catch something.
No, I know he's a bit sick.
Oh. So is there worry then that you might get sick?
Is that the first time you were worried you were going to get sick?
100%.
What?
You spent the last 3 hours with me.
I know, but I didn't know you had emphysema.
I also think something that's changed a lot since I was a child, and this may be because we've gotten older, is the loud blow of the nose.
Mm.
So now I feel really comfortable blowing my nose loudly. But I remember as a kid, if you blew your nose loudly, people would look at you like you were a freak.
Yeah, yeah. Like
a goddamn loud-nosed freak.
Trumpet boy.
Trumpet nose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think it was ever a problem. No, no, no. I think you're getting that wrong. Young people never trumpeted.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. So now he's got older and he's much louder now.
No, but you're saying it's changed for you as opposed to society.
Maybe has it?
You've grown into a loud blow.
Yeah,
yeah, which is great. It's good
but,
for you.
But I'm also proud of my friends when they blow.
You're proud of them.
Yeah, I'm like, good on you. Get it all out.
Do you snort when you laugh?
Yeah.
Did you used to do that?
I don't know. Maybe I was more conscious of it.
I didn't used to do it at all, and now I'm doing it, and I'm getting comfortable with it.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a little bit quirky.
put it on your
podcast
dating bio. Yeah.
That's great.
Snorts when I laugh.
Catch a snort. To catch a snort.
To catch a rising snort.
I went to an event recently and it was a friend's event and my girlfriend was coming along and I needed to share the details of the event.
With her?
Yes, with her. So it was like, hey, are we still going to that thing? I'll be like, yep, I'll send you the dates.
Yep.
So my instinct in that case is always to copy the text of what I've been told, and then I can edit and take out things that are not necessary and then send that over as a separate message.
So to clarify, someone texted you the details and then you were thinking, oh, I got to forward this on somehow.
Yes.
I'm going to copy the text, or what are your other options?
No, I copy the text because if you send a screenshot, as some people have done to me, the things that annoy me about that is like pumping in the address into Maps, I can't copy the text.
Oh.
If I have it as a message copied out, I can take that text and do with it what I want.
So you treat it as a first draft. The message that you receive is a first draft.
Yeah.
Copy, paste that. Now we're going on draft two, final.
Yes. Because also they might not need all the details. Depending on what I've been sent, might be extra details that don't make sense to that person. So I personally love to copy all the text and forward it on. Dion, what's your method?
Well, my method would be to, it's tough because you're in that situation of you want to do it quickly, but also you want to make it, I think, convenient for the other person.
You just want to do it quickly.
I think I probably, excuse me.
You said convenient for the other person. I was definitely not that.
No, you know what? I'm going to hit Christian's version of this and then I'm going to come somewhere in the middle like Christian does with everything.
Yeah, yeah, great. I will summarize. I don't.
You're not copying at all.
I don't do any copy whatsoever.
Oh, my.
I just go, cool, I know the details. I'll plug them in myself.
Yep.
And generate it in my own voice. Because I feel like if you're working off a draft, it's hard to get your own voice in there and your own formatting.
But if someone says, can you forward me the details?
Well, that's
if they use that term,
if they
what
say,
are you doing
can
then?
You, can you? If someone says, can you forward me the details? I'm getting a new friend.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So if I was like, oh, hey, Christian, I can't remember. What were the details for that thing we're going to the weekend?
What were the details? I will just, more often than not, there's a Google Calendar invite, which has all the details in it. But like I include the location, the time, and I've invited people's email. So more often I'll ask for their email. but so I can share them into the event.
And then you just add in that, and then you're like, it's all in there. I don't need to think about it.
It's pretty efficient.
Oh, rather than doing a message.
What do you think of that? It's huge.
I think for a lot of people that wouldn't work because they don't use their calendars well enough.
But with your girlfriend, does she use calendars? Could you do that with her?
Yeah, but it's a lot. I think in the moment, impersonal. I just want to copy the text and dump it across.
Yeah.
The whole point about, I think, me summarizing is it gives me the scope to adjust the message for the audience.
Yeah, I think that's huge.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Because some people want more detail. Some people just want time, date, done.
But the thing is, sometimes if there's a bit more, say it's a dress-up party or there's something more to it, you might be like, can you just give me the verbatim? I want to see the original invite.
Yes.
Because I don't know what information you've chosen to edit.
So in that situation, what I was thinking I would do is I may take the message and crop it just to the bit.
So screenshot it?
Screenshot it and then crop it in.
Yeah.
Just to the bit. Yep. But I also think that I'd either crop it or I'd highlight the text and forward it on.
Because you know what? The crop screenshot is good because what that does, that says, this is the whole thing. I haven't editorialized this.
Yeah.
Well, unless it's cropped.
So you're cropping with, so they've sent you a large message and you've cropped to a smaller part.
Yeah, I just want them to know the actual, it's like a crop top.
I think with an event like let's say a house party, right? That one there, it's a screenshot of the original message.
Yep.
Just with to disseminate. With the person's name up the top.
That's huge.
Because I was wondering if, Krishna, wondering, I'm so sorry. But
no, Dion, it's fine. Absolutely fine. Honestly, it's fine.
I thought it would be a privacy issue for both of you. I thought that's where you were coming from when you're saying, do you screenshot? I thought it'd be like, do you feel bad about screenshotting a private conversation that's not that private
person? This is the invite, which it presumably says share with your friends. You do the screenshot of that and send it. And I think the screenshot of that means...
She just grabbed a bit of fluff out of the air.
As I was speaking.
And all of us saw it.
And I mimicked him. Look at it on YouTube.
I think the screenshot says, as you send it, no further questions to me.
Yes, that says.
This is all I know.
That's weird. That's weird cutthroat with your friends.
This is the start and the end of what I know.
That's a fantastic point. You're no cutting questions. Out follow-up questions.
Yeah.
Like, because they can't then come back. It's not in that message that you sent of the screenshot.
Yeah.
They know either he's got no more info. Oh, is there a dress up? Is there a theme?
You now have the same level of knowledge as me.
Yes. Interesting. So just to clarify, Josh, you want to send it on with as much ease but convenience to the other person.
I think for me, copying the text is supreme because then you can copy that text and do with it what you want.
Bone to pick with Josh.
Okay. I got
a bone to pick. And look, it's been a while, so we might as well ramp up. Josh, usually when a bone to pick is picked, he'll have a swig of beer, which he just did.
Hit me.
And his nervous system will prepare. Josh, when...
Not against you, mate.
When an episode is ready to go, when it's been edited, right?
I already know exactly what this is.
First of all, Christian and I truly appreciate you. Truly, truly appreciate. Josh has been doing the editing.
Don't drag me into this.
I know you're fucking in this.
Screenshot. I'm out.
Okay, but we need to listen to the episode. And Josh, you have a particular way that you share that the. That the episode has been released. What do you do? Can you explain?
It's very simple. No, just to not bore people. So I use Google Drive. It's integrated with my hard drive. It's like a physical, it acts as like a physical drive on my computer.
Yep.
So when I copy the address of where it is, I'm copying the address path on my computer.
Yeah, right. So I can't click on that, right?
Nope.
No, I can't click on that.
It's an address path.
So how does that work with your thing of convenience to the other person and sending the and sending the details so they can get into Google Maps quickly? How does that work? Because if you just sent the link to the Google Drive thing, then I could just click it and listen to the episode.
Yeah, cool. So in that instance, what I have to do, open up my web browser, open up Google Drive, navigate to where the file is, and then copy that link and share that
and
link.
Or
I could right click on the thing that's already open paste it into that.
No, we need to do the same thing twice.
Hang on, by your own virtue, you then grab the message, edit it for convenience for the other person. That's additional work on you.
I'm not forwarding on details about a party or an event. I'm sending you, ungrateful bastards, a link to a file.
If we up the money you're paid.
Christian, just to get back to the messages, one thing we had when we had a house party recently is we were short. So there was a big, long, fun explanation of the party, but what we did is the very first few lines, it was the where, it was the when, it was the theme. So
that's nice.
You had the pertinent details right up front, and then there's the fun stuff afterwards about how good's the description. So if you just need to send it to a friend, when you open that message in 2-3 weeks time, bam, it's right there.
A TLDR
yes,
for text messages. And how good would that be, a TLDR? They've got for voice notes, when you send voice notes on some platforms, they do the transcription. Why isn't AI doing a little... That won't be long. That'll be... Well, that's 3 months away.
Also, for those who aren't addicted to Reddit like the three of us, TLDR?
Too long, don't read.
Didn't read.
Didn't read.
Didn't read. Yeah. So a little summary before a voice note, that'd be handy.
That'd be huge.
Because it's very annoying having to listen to... Wait, you like voice notes, don't you?
No, you don't.
Yeah. Oh, you like a long boy.
Yeah, I love a voice note. I think it's a very different messaging format.
Could you ever send, if someone said, send me the details, record a little voice note of you saying the details?
I just don't think so. You can't do it. There's no way you can do
that. You'd do it, wouldn't you, Christian?
No, I wouldn't.
No.
Josh, that's so unfair.
Out of the three of us, Josh,
I thought that was really unfair.
Out of the three of us, Christian is easily the best communicator, and I will not have you school him. But yeah, in a voice note, you can't include pertinent details that person is going to need to write down somewhere. That's the key, right?
Yeah, you don't want to... Anything like that you might refer to.
Yes.
Yeah, because if it's like 45 seconds into the voice note, you're stuffed.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that number. Oh. I'm going to need to go back and get that phone number.
Just a quick question. If there is a photo that someone sent you and you want to send it to someone else, do you download the photo and then send it to that person, or do you just screenshot the conversation? Don't worry about the contextualizing thing, if it's in context.
I think depending on what you're... Like, generally, I find sometimes I'm like, it is easier just to screenshot the thing.
Oh, that is lazy.
Which sucks.
That's lazy.
But they've made forwarding so easy now.
For some platform. But sometimes when you're doing it, you're like, this is more annoying than it should be, but I know no matter what happens,
right,
I can screenshot and then send that on straight away.
He's right. There sometimes are a few annoying steps.
Mm. It's a weird thing. And it's that point of friction is so small. Yeah. It's such a quick point of friction for me to give up on it and go, I'm going to screenshot this.
We are bleeding into the tech podcast again.
Which is definitely something we could do. Now,
the final thing that I wanted to ask you guys is, do you create a group thread? So let's say you have the invite for the house party, right? Are you creating a group thread for the people that you know are going to say, hey, this is for the house party and I'll put the details in there? Or are you messaging each person individually?
I did. Can I just answer that very quickly? It's my birthday the other day.
Yeah. And I found that very interesting.
And I did do that. 12 people invited, and I individually messaged all of them because I couldn't... I knew there'd be different conversations I'd have with each of them. Some of them have kids. Some of them have dietary requirements. So each individual person. But I think that it worked better because people just turned up. It wasn't like they had to reply to me. Whereas with a group thing...
It's a really good point.
Yeah.
I think people are scared to reply in a group thing. Whereas the private individual is like, great, knock it out. But I do think it depends on the size of the event. Mm. And I think a birthday dinner, I'm like... You could probably get away with making a group for that. Anything less than that, you're not making a group for it.
Mm. Oh, yeah, well, hang on.
A Friday at the pub.
I know, I did. And I was very explicit about... So the other night, Dan and I went to see some comedy at the comedy festival.
Yep.
My partner and another friend came.
Yep.
I created a group called Comedy 4th of April.
Great. A new WhatsApp group.
That's pretty great.
Wait, you think it's great?
Isolating it so discreetly, I applaud you.
I was like, this is the purpose of this thread, and my intention is to delete it.
Yeah, have you deleted it?
Not yet, but I will.
Come on.
I'll do it right now.
Yeah.
I'll do it for the people live.
And that's what we really want. We want real action on this podcast.
Because people shouldn't be afraid to create groups in WhatsApp.
But people-
Normalize it.
But what?
Okay, guys, Comedy April 2nd.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, no. You can only exit the group.
Oh, no, you idiot. Report it.
How do you delete?
Hang on. While you're doing that, while you're trying to figure it out.
I'll report the group.
Group created for improper purpose. There's also that thing of when you're creating a group like that. Oh, we've talked about that a little bit, haven't we? We've talked about when there's people in the group that you don't know as well.
Yeah,
it's whether to comment. It's fucking hectic. But, there was that Survivor thread on WhatsApp. We had a thread of people. Your brother was in Survivor. But I wasn't watching Survivor, but I was added to it. I was very happy to be added to it. Mm. But there was a point in the season, we're 3/4 of the way through, I wasn't watching. I was like, I probably should drop out of that.
Right.
But I was like, should I
engage
be a bad
with
look?
The chat at all?
God, not
there
really.
There is a huge stigma around leaving a group.
I know. Yeah. And so should I said something like, hey, not watching Survivor, Seek? I was just like, no, I'll leave it. There's huge stigma in seeing that.
Because,
it's a horrible thought.
Because all it does is sit there, right?
Yeah.
This is the argument against. It just sits there and you can mute it. But I hate that. I hate seeing that there's a thread with unchecked messages.
Yeah, yeah. It's shocking.
You know what you need? You need a mole on the inside.
Here we go.
And this is what you do. So say it was a Survivor chat, Dion.
Yep.
You tell me and you go, hey, man, I'm about to leave the chat. You got my back and I got your back. What you do? Oh, you leave the chat.
Look at this.
I start spamming the chat. When someone opens it up, Dion's left the chat. That's long gone.
No, but
that's
I'm scrolling back. Nah. I'm scrolling back to the start of the spam.
No. That's not what the mole does.
That's what the mole does.
No, the mole goes into bat for you.
Yeah.
And then they're like, Josh, I'm going to leave this chat.
Dion's chronically sick at the moment.
No.
He had to leave the chat.
No, I want you to back me.
Dion's got severe diarrhea.
Dion's like, that's not your role as the mole. Don't tell him I shit my pants.
Bad mole.
And now it's time for Oh Wow of the Week.
Oh wow.
Oh wow.
Oh wow. Stuart Little isn't a mouse. He's a normal boy in every way, except that he is only just over 2 inches tall and looks exactly like a mouse.
What? Oh wow.
Oh wow.
Oh wow.
Oh wow.
What?
Short Little's not a mouse, just a small boy who looks exactly like a mouse.
Wait, so it was a childhood deformity?
I don't know.
Hang on. Is this who Stuart Little was based off? Is Stuart Little a mouse?
I don't know. I think it's just a fictional character, but he's a normal boy in, quote, every way, except he is only just over 2 inches tall and looks exactly like a mouse.
Do you know what sucks? Imagine being called Stuart Little when that movie comes out. How many Stuart Littles are there just in the UK alone? How many Stuart Littles? There'd be 400 of them. That comes out.
Well, you wouldn't be worried because he's not a mouse.
But some of them are like, Stu, check this out. Check this out. Your movie named after you.
Stu, you're famous.
And other Stu's like, I fucking get bullied for the rest of my life with my buck teeth.
Now, we're going to play a new game here on Welcome to Patchwork. Haven't quite worked out the name.
Or the concept.
A few things. That's pretty good. Metaphor what is what I'm going with at the moment.
Not bad.
Metaphor.
Yeah, thank you. That's pretty good. So what we're going to do, we start with a metaphor. And this week we're doing no skin off my nose, which means it doesn't affect me negatively. It's no skin off my nose. Doesn't affect me negatively.
Yeah.
We've each three of us come up with an explanation of where this came from. And then at the end, we'll reveal the real one. Skin off my nose.
One of ours isn't the real one.
No. Right? They're all just silly. We've all just tried to justify it.
Yeah.
I might kick us off because it's my idea.
That's good.
That's the first claim ever on the show. Oh my God.
I can't wait this fucking game now.
Hey, Christian, well done on the intro music, by the way.
I'll take it back. Yeah, copy the paste the file name. No worries. The phrase no skin off my nose, it refers back to medieval times as a punishment for servants. When a lord's servants would drop a plate or not get a stain out of a garment or something like that, as a punishment, they would have a little bit of skin shaved off their nose. It was also a very clear visual representation of a bad servant, but this would only happen once per month. So when one servant would see another one stuffing up, so they would be like, oh, I'm so relieved someone else has screwed up more than me. And they'd think, phew. At least it's no skin off my nose.
Oh, Josh, that is fantastic.
It's also better than...
I wish we had a sound to play. Metaphor! Metaphor!
So that's my explanation skin off my
nose. That was very good. It's much more sensical than mine. Christian?
Great. I'm also really excited to see how all three of us went with these.
And how I'm typically the worst.
No, because we was very loosely defined.
That's true.
This one goes back to the 12th century when the King of Jerusalem.
Is that medieval? Is that medieval times?
When the King of Jerusalem, Baldwin IV, succumbed to the disease Myobacterium leprae. The leper king, as he later became known, had more or less none of his facial features left. And when a final piece of his nose fell onto the bed sheets in front of him as he spoke with his daughter, who happened to work as an alchemist, she is recorded as having asked whether she could remove the skin from the piece of nose before her so that she could study it and develop a topical ointment that might save her father. her father, holding his nose out to his daughter, now famously responded, "It's no skin off my nose."
That is extraordinary.
Oh, God.
That's fantastic. Can you really still you say?
Metaphor! Metaphor!
Okay, well, my understanding of this phrase is it's from an 1800s French novel by Geraldine Depardieu.
Oh, no.
And I've scrolled all the way to the bottom.
And the character goes to a hairdresser. Her name's Penny. Goes to a hairdresser, gets a haircut. Goes to a hairdresser, gets a haircut, is very happy. And then after the haircut, she asks the hairdresser for her nose hairs to be clipped in the novel. And the hairdresser says, "Your nose hairs are no skin off my nose. Let me cut your nose hairs using my nose."
Metaphor!
Was it a badly translated French novel? Oh, no. Is that what it was?
It was terribly translated.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Well, that's pretty creative.
So the actual real explanation...
was Dion's.
No.
Four to four.
Actually relates to boxing. That's what I could find. There's a bit of contention around it, but it relates to boxing and it's to do with like, it was just a light blow.
Oh, perfect.
So it wasn't too hard. So it's no skin off my nose.
My God. That's so much better than Christian's.
But it's kind of morphed over time.
That's great.
Yeah. So that was
Metaphor.
Recently, I had some mates coming over to my place and we have a little drinks fridge. And it's a shitty old one. It sounds really cool and rich. I'm like, this is a shitty old fridge. Anyway, I have a slab of beer in there that I buy that's like common beer that I'm like, anyone, and if you ever have friends over, my housemates, let them have a beer. No worries, no stress. Then I have nice ones. Some of them are like my knockoffs from work or ones I've spent a bit more money on that I'm like, I don't have them all the time. It's like when I'm like, oh, I feel really like a drink and just in the afternoon, I'm just going to have one or something like that. I'll use those ones. And the thought occurred to me, I had a friend come over and the situation it was, I would be like, oh, I'm probably just going to have one. I'll have one of my nice beers. But then I was like, I don't want to go through my nice beers because I don't have many of them with the guest. Mm-hmm. Is it okay for me to give the guest one of the average beers while I sit there drinking a nice, more expensive beer?
Stingy boy!
As a man of the people, which you are,
what does that mean?
Josh is a man of the people. He's a common man.
Is he?
I would say in very few
ways. Talking about? I'm the king of Jerusalem.
But that is based on a real character known as the Leper King.
Oh, wow.
The king of Jerusalem the 12th century. Great. Yeah. But I would say in very few ways do you are you ostentatious?
Don't know what that means.
Don't know what that means either.
Metaphor. But this behavior really is unsettling for me because it doesn't fit your character at all.
Fits it perfectly. Josh, can you give an explanation? I just want to hear a little bit more from Josh. So what's your thinking? So step us through the selfish.
Picture this in the drinks fridge. Mm-hmm. There's a slab I've spent call 50, 60 bucks on.
Yep.
Stocked. Rows and rows and rows of it. No worries.
Yep.
There's three of my nice beers.
Mm-hmm.
That take me quite a while because a lot of them are knockoffs from work. I'm like, love these delicious. I'll save them.
Yeah.
So someone comes over, those three beers might last me weeks and weeks and weeks. Am I going to knock out two of those right away? Or am I like, I'll have one of my nice ones. I'll have one of them.
I've got the question. The question I would ask is which beer is your friend going to enjoy more? It depends on the friend, I think.
The nice beer. Everyone will enjoy the nice beer more.
Not necessarily. You love a bad beer, don't you, Christian?
Yeah. Well, it's just a standard lager.
You love a standard lager. But so you're thinking... And it's also one, like, I feel like if there's five people coming over and let's say you've got six of these beers in the fridge, you probably don't, using all of them up, probably wouldn't.
Right.
But one person.
That's the thing, you're getting low on the stocks.
Mm. Yeah, that's
But also, thing. Just to be clear, this was the thought that went through my head. To solve the problem, we both had the normal beers. Because I went, I can't do that. I'll just have a normal beer.
Of course.
But it was interesting.
That's nice and
clever. But in that moment, I thought about that. I was like, I don't really want to go to two of my nice beers. I kind of want to save them. I'll just have a normal one.
But I think that's the appropriate reaction.
That's lateral thinking. If you get asked that question in an IQ test.
In a Google interview. Hang
on. Are you saying, will you be an asshole or not?
No. It's not that. It's lateral thinking. Like someone loves... I think that's very impressive.
Is
for Josh.
It?
For Josh. There we go. You think
no, well, said it. No, but the thing that surprised me... No, the thing that surprised me was that you actually treated yourself to nice beers.
Oh. No, that doesn't surprise me.
No, it does. Because no. I feel like you normally are happy with few things and you don't need much. You're like, it's all right. Things. The way it is, it's fine.
But that's why they're special.
But I'm proud that you're treating yourself with special beers, and I don't think people deserve your special beers that mean something to you.
Huge.
Yeah.
To be fair, they pretty much are all my knockoffs from work.
Yeah.
So I accumulate them.
Interesting. So you didn't pay for them.
Oh, no. Oh, that's very different.
That's different, surely. I think so. Do you think it's different?
Yeah, because it takes me longer to build those up.
That's weird.
But your argument is, well, you didn't pay for it.
But that's like you.
They were free.
That's like you maybe working at Fonda Mexican, let's say, when you were younger.
Yeah.
And
it's been like 10 years. I bumped into some guys who I used to work with. I hadn't seen for ages. It was really weird. So.
Give him a beer.
But you working at Fonda when you were younger and coming home with heaps of the leftover food. If you've got, I don't know, some leftover pasta and then the Fonda, are you going to give your neighbor? This is such a bad announcement.
No,
you're
keep going.
Give your housemates the leftover pasta, because or are you going to give them the
you
Fonda?
Understand the difference there. It's copious amounts of whatever. It's limited supply is the issue.
No, I don't think that's it. I don't think it's limited supply, because I like whiskey, and I've got like a bit of a shitty whiskey, really good whiskey, and a really, really good whiskey. I think I've actually changed my mind with this stuff. Mm. And I'm like, when a friend comes over, I want them having the best thing.
You do that.
Go to the best one.
Because otherwise I'm having the best thing on my own.
Yes.
I want to share that with someone because I think they'll appreciate that. But maybe that's different.
I think that you should crack one of the special ones and share it with the person. If there's too many people, it doesn't make sense.
There actually are a lot of factors here. Because if you have a bottle of something, that's
only one.
Your bottle, no, but your expensive bottle of whiskey, right? That's probably more expensive than the beers, but there's a whole bottle of it. So you're well, it's going to take me so long to get through this. But if it's a limited supply thing and you're going to sort of run it down, you might think twice.
For me personally, when you first posed that question, my instinct was it's as you'd expect. It's about the guest.
You give them the best thing.
So whatever I've got that will make them feel like, oh, great. I think I would never want to be perceived as sipping on a better beer.
You see how easy it is for Christian though? Like with that growing up, like it's so, so simple for Christian that he just defaults to, I'll just give the guest whatever. Like, it's like a lovely, it's beyond overthinking.
What about
it makes life simple.
Yeah, it makes it simple.
But also makes it incredibly unfulfilling.
Yeah, but that's the tech podcast.
What about snacks and stuff? Do you have stuff
Esther Perel's tech podcast.
Do you have snacks and stuff in your pantry that when a guest comes over, you're fantastic. Like, anything goes, I'm going to use anything? Or are you like, I might save those. Those are for me later. We're not talking about like the best thing. I'm just thinking, are there maybe stocks that you go, I'm going to save that for later? Or it's just always whatever is the best thing right now, that's what they're getting.
For me, it's like whatever's the best thing in the fridge, because I am so grateful if I don't need to go out of my house to prep for a guest coming over. Mm. Like if I can scrap together stuff like pickles and a bit of cheese. And a bit of crackers. Mm. If I can scrap that together and not have to go to the extra effort and they won't know, then that's great.
But that is the beauty of in one shop going and saying, I'm consciously buying two additional water crackers, some olives, some sun-dried tomatoes. They sit in there.
So you're always prepared for a guest.
I'm always
prepared. Yeah, right. That's the difference.
Wonderful.
I'm always.
Can I actually, it's funny you should bring this up. In light of talking about this, I came up with a few scenarios. So let's say I've got three people coming around in the fridge. I've got half a wheel of brie that's previously, half a wheel that's been eaten, half of it. Well, it's not like I bought the half.
Perfectly
and
half.
And what's happened to the other half?
Yeah, this is strong, isn't it? And then like half a packet of crackers, of those water cracker things, and then an unopened packet of chips. For three people, do I need to go to the supermarket? Yay or nay?
Is that all you've got? You got drinks? Are there drinks?
Yeah, I've got some drinks. I've got some of Josh's beers.
I think for me personally, I think you're fine with what you've got.
With three people coming over, half
you know
a
what?
Thing of
you know what actually what depends?
What are they coming over for?
I was going to say, what's the timeline we're working on? Is it like, hey, come over on Friday, we'll have some drinks before we get out? Or is it like, oh yeah, just come over now?
If they're coming over for crackers and cheese, it's not enough. If you've said, hey, come over for some crackers and cheese.
Yeah. Well, what about Curb Your Enthusiasm? Been doing screenings at my place. Would that be enough for three episodes of Curb, hour and a half?
Yeah.
You reckon?
Because I'm trying to get the mentality of like,
the time.
But I want to run out of stuff.
I'm sick of like events finishing and things wrapping up and I've got all this stuff left over I've got to cram in the fridge.
Interesting.
I want it to run down. I don't think anyone has ever been to something and been like, oh, I wish there was more nuts.
Yeah, but can you put like if Dion served out, actually, I think you could serve a quarter of the brie.
It was a half.
No, no, but I'm saying.
No, serve a half and a half.
Yeah, you can
wait, a quarter and a half.
See if you can.
What about?
Hang on. What were you saying?
Sorry.
You could serve a quarter. Just saying you could serve a quarter of it out to them. See if it gets eaten.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, retain the other quarter,
and then bring out the quarter out of the pocket.
But then, yeah, because I think it needs to be straight edges.
Bring out the premiership quarter.
So the edges. Oh, it needs to be. So that's the
serve something. Oh,
it can't look like it's been used before. Okay, what about this? Two people, afternoon lunch. I've got half a Lebanese cucumber and a shallot.
Hit the shops.
And also, hang on, just for the sake of it, just came up with this. Four people, bag of yeast flour, but no running water. Thank you so much for listening to Welcome to Patchwork.
Got a new outro song. Thanks,
Dan. That was very fun. Very long episode. We've been trying to keep them down, haven't we, Josh?
We're just having too much fun. Sorry, guys.
And who knows, by 2027, these might go for 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Joe Rogan style. And doesn't everyone just love him? We have Insta, TikTok, Facebooker.
The big one's YouTube.
Sam Booker.
You can watch this episode on YouTube. Mm. We put effort into these.
Yeah.
That's great. If you just want to see, you know what's weird though? Some podcasts I listen to, I have made up an image of the person in my head.
Yeah.
And then when I've seen a picture of them,
boom,
I cannot remember my previous version. I have no ability to recall it. Oh. And it's a little bit distressing.
So if you're a court reporter or do sketches.
That's honestly what I thought.
We would love, if there's someone there who does sketches,
yeah,
who's never seen us,
yes.
Draw us.
Oh, I'd love that.
Draw us. Who's the tallest? Who's the baldest? And as we do every week, we sew a new patch into our quilt of friendship. Josh, what patch did you sew into our quilt this week?
Thank you, Dion. My patch this week is Christian offering his left unblocked nostril to his guests and keeping his right runny nostril to himself. Christian, what patch did you sew this week?
Good. You're on fire.
This week, I sewed into my patch Josh and Dion sharing a premiership quarter of brie as they watch this year's grand final between arch rivals, the Coffers and the Sniffers. And Dion, what did you sew into your patch this week?
My patch this week is Christian creating a new group thread for each patchwork episode and Josh simply copying in a screenshot of the audio file.
That was good.
You prick.
Good round. Well done.
Thank you for listening to Welcome to Patchwork for another week. I've been Dion.
I've been Josh.
And I've been Christian.
Goodbye.
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 This podcast was self-produced by Welcome to Patchwork and edited by Josh Porter. The theme song and additional original music was composed by Christian Pissasali.
All right, babies, let's get rockin'. I got the rockin' and rolling.
What's the most rockin' baby you've ever met? Call it now.
My Uncle Mike, his baby's rockin'.